unrest in the Middle East, the economic crisis in Europe, Iran threatens Israel, the moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
Many in Europe are calling it the Muslim invasion of Europe. If you include Russia as part of Europe, you have over 50 million Muslims living in Europe today. Now, the vast majority of migrants streaming onto the continent of Europe come from such nations as Iraq, Lebanon, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Eritrea, Somalia, Nigeria, and of course, Syria. And the increase in the Muslim populations in European cities is so high, it is having the collateral effect of driving Jews out of Europe. Jews are leaving Europe choosing to live in Israel, the United States, or Canada. And many of these Jews believe they are no longer safe in European cities. Now, let's not forget historical patterns, which often repeat themselves in a general sense. Remember, history doesn't repeat itself exactly, but it does rhyme. That's what Mark Twain said, that history rhymes. And this is what we're going to see happening at the time of the end. You have to take a look at the book of Daniel 11 to appreciate end-time prophecies concerning Europe and the Middle East. Now, in the years to come, the Bible prophesies that there's going to be a long-time clash of civilizations between a traditionally Christian Europe and the Islamic Arab world. And this conflict, this clash of civilizations, is going to reach a devastating climax in the years to come. We're told that the king of the south, most likely a Mahdi or caliph, is going to attack the leader of a new European-centered superpower called the king of the north. In the book of Revelation, this king of the north is called the beast power. He's a European dictator. And this European dictator is going to strike back against this Islamic leader. Like a whirlwind, he's going to enter into the Arab countries of the Middle East and North Africa. He's going to overwhelm them. He's going to pass through. This is revealed to us in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. And this future dictator, this European despot, will successfully invade both Israel and Egypt. And again, you can read all about this in the book of Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 40. Now, let's take a look at history, because remember, we see the patterns of history, and when we understand those patterns, we can better understand end-time events. Now, historically, armies of both Europe and the Muslim Middle East have pushed back and forth at one another. They fought against one another over the centuries. You need to go back to the year 732 AD, and at that time, we saw Islamic armies advance into what is modern France today, but they were stopped by Catholic armies led by Charles Martel, the grandfather of Charlemagne. This effectively stopped Arab expansion into Northern Europe. But an Islamic invasion of Europe occurred once again later in history. So we see historically that the armies of Islam have actually wanted to control Europe, and they were successful to a degree. They controlled parts of Southern Europe in the past. In the 12th century, so-called Christian armies of Europe moved out of Europe during the Crusades with the intent of liberating the Holy Land from Muslim control. Europe was successful only for a short time of liberating Jerusalem before being repulsed by the Muslims. Once again, in the early 16th century, the armies of the Ottoman Empire, and we're talking about an Islamic force, this Islamic army swept up through Hungary in Europe, sacking Budapest, and then this army moved on to Vienna in Austria. Now, the Ottoman Turks got a foothold in the Balkans around the year 1300, and they started to expand from that point in time, and they finally took Constantinople in 1453, and then they pushed north to threaten Vienna twice, once in the year 1529, and again in the year 1683. In the year 1529, the armies of the Holy Roman Empire successfully defended Europe and prevented these Muslim armies from dominating Europe. Another Ottoman attack in the 17th century was defeated again at Vienna. Since then, no Arab army has made any further attack or successful attack on northern European cities. So the point of all of this is I'm just showing you the pattern of history, where Muslim armies again and again tried to control much of Central Europe and even wanted to push into controlling all of Northern Europe, but they were repelled. Which brings us to the subject of today's program. Remember, historically, the King of the North was a European Catholic power that fought against an Islamic power made up of various Middle Eastern people who were Muslim. And this, of course, this Muslim power was represented by a leader of the South called the King of the South. So in today's message, we're talking about this Muslim invasion of Europe. Remember, Europe as we see it today, which would include the former Soviet Union. In other words, it would include Russia. As we understand it today, there are 50 million Muslims living in various European cities. And the vast majority of these migrants are coming from North Africa and the Middle East. Now, the Muslim immigration tide is creating deep fissures between European leaders. Even European leaders are disagreeing among themselves as to how to handle this swell of refugees spilling on into European cities. Western European political officials talk in terms of quote-unquote solidarity or humanitarian duty or compassion. But let me tell you, the enthusiasm of Europeans, your average European, for embracing thousands of refugees, this enthusiasm has faded fast. Now, the people of Central Europe weren't very enthusiastic to begin with, and they got sick and tired very quickly of refugees crowding their train stations and highways from the very beginning. Nations such as Poland, Hungary, and Austria, they're saying no to refugees settling in their towns and cities. And then in southern European nations, such as Greece, Bulgaria, Italy, and Serbia, now these nations are being overwhelmed with refugees, and the citizens of these nations are saying now, no more. We've had enough. So European intellectual elites, and again, this includes many of the leaders of Europe today, for so many years, they believe that multiculturalism could work, but it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. Islam has not melted into a smooth, blended society of Europeans, Muslims, and Jews. Many Muslims are not assimilated within European culture because they don't want to assimilate to European culture. Vast numbers of Muslims live in so-called no-go zones. You see these no-go zones in European cities, such as in Marseille, Paris, those are French cities, Brussels, which is in Belgium, London, England, Copenhagen in Denmark, Malmö and Stockholm in Sweden, Berlin and Athens. These cities all have pockets of what we would call no-go zones. In other words, those areas of the cities which are controlled essentially by Muslims. Now, no leader of Europe has been as outspoken as Viktor Orbán, Prime Minister of Hungary. Now, he spoke of an invasion. That's right. He calls this spill of refugees into European cities an actual invasion. And he has asked if there were another word to describe the massive and often angry entry into a country of people who have not been invited to settle there. Of course, he says it is an invasion. Now, the leader of Hungary has stressed that those who enter Europe are from a different culture, which is true. And he has asserted that Islam is not compatible with European Judeo-Christian values. Other Western European leaders argue with him and say that European leaders should express compassion. But Viktor Orbán of Hungary says, look, this refugee issue is not working, and refugees are not welcome to settle in Hungary. Muslim crime rates across Europe are very high. For example, in France, which has the largest Muslim population with the exception of Russia, in France, the prison population is 70% Muslim. European prisons have become recruitment centers for future jihadis. So now let's take a look at the Muslim dilemma faced by the various countries of Europe. First of all, let's take a look at Russia. Today, an estimated 20 million Muslims including 6.5 million migrants from Azerbaijan and Central Asia, live in Russia. Now, you may not have been aware, but Russia hosts millions of guest workers, most of them from Muslim Central Asia. An estimated 3 to 5 million Uzbeks, 1 million Tajiks, and 1 million Kyrgyz reside in Russia today. Now, there's an estimated 2 million, Muslims who live in Moscow. Remember, Moscow is the capital of Russia, and Moscow boasts the largest Muslim population in all of Europe. Remember, Moscow has a population of about 12 million people total, of which about 2 million of those people are Muslims. In terms of Western Europe, Johannes Hahn, EU Commissioner for European Neighborhood Policy, he asserts that there are 20 million. You heard me correctly. There are 20 million potential refugees waiting at the doorsteps of Europe today. And by potential refugees, I'm talking about people or refugees from nations such as Nigeria, Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. All of these potential refugees, they all want to move to Western European cities. And again, we're talking about 20 million people who would like to leave their locale and enter into these Western European cities. We're talking about the refugee crisis that is hammering Europe. Now, there are about 64 million refugees worldwide. In essence, we're talking about a nation of displaced people around the world, and the size of this so-called nation is roughly equal to the population of the United Kingdom. 64 million refugees worldwide. And now to the country of Denmark. Kristian Thulesen Dahl, the far-right Danish People Party leader, he was a big winner in a recent Danish election, garnering 21% of the vote. So the extreme right party in Denmark, the Danish People's Party, is now the second largest party in Denmark. The issues of immigration and the rising cost of housing asylum seekers in Denmark was a major campaign theme for both the right and the left, along with the economy and the future of Denmark's so-called cherished cradle-to-grave welfare state. Now, the right-wing Danish People's Party was a big winner because it tapped into the anguish of Danish voters who fear the rising tide of Muslim immigration to their country. Nearly 10% of Denmark's 5.7 million inhabitants were born abroad. So almost 10% of Denmark's population is Muslim. And now let's talk about Germany. Germany has 6 million Muslims. Most of these Muslims are of Turkish descent. And concerning new arrivals to Germany, and I'm talking about the new arrivals who have arrived in the last 6 months, a large number, 40%, are from the countries in the Balkans. This would include nations of Albania and Kosovo. So this implies that nearly half of those arriving in Germany over the past 6 months are actually economic migrants, not refugees fleeing war zones. Now, the Gatestone Institute reports that Muslim men residing in Germany routinely take advantage of the social welfare system in Germany, and they do this by bringing two, three, or even four women across from the Muslim world, bringing them into Germany, and then they marry those women in the presence of an imam. And once in Germany, these women who are now married to Muslim men, they request social welfare benefits, including the cost of a separate home for themselves and for their children, all based on the claim of being a quote-unquote single parent with children. So this migration issue is causing Germany serious problems. And many, not all, but many of these Muslim men are taking advantage of the very liberal, the very generous welfare system within Germany. So longtime residents of Germany are very angry about this, and the so-called generosity of the German people is being abused by many of these Muslims, and of course this is creating resentment within the German culture. And now this, we're also hearing out of Germany that more than 750 German Muslims have actually joined the Islamic State that they have traveled to Syria and Iraq. Some of them have continued to receive welfare checks from the German state while on the battlefield of the Middle East. So this chaos that is taking place in Europe continues to spiral out of control. And now on to the country of Belgium. What is going on in Belgium? About 8% of the country's population is Muslim, predominantly North African and Turkish immigrants living in isolated neighborhoods in the major cities of Belgium. This tiny nation of Belgium, which is wedged between Germany, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands, and France, has brought forth a disproportionate amount of jihadists. It is a small country of only 11 million people, and the maximum number of Belgians who at one point were active in Syria or Iraq has climbed to over 500. Belgium has supplied the highest per capita number of fighters to ISIS in Syria of any European nation. So the citizens in Belgium are very worried. And what we see in Belgium right now, we see the emergence of the far-right Flemish nationalist party called Vlaams Belang Party, which has grown in influence in Belgium because it exports an explicit, clear message, which is anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim. Remember, and I keep reminding you of this, that right-wing parties in Europe are gaining momentum because they are anti-refugee parties. And now onto the country of France. France is the home to Western Europe's largest Muslim population, with about 6.2 million Muslims living in France. And just recently, French voters went to the polls for the first time since the November terrorist attacks, and they rewarded Marine Le Pen's far-right National Front Party with a major victory. Now, the National Front Party, which also got the most votes in last year's European Parliament elections, is now the most popular party in France. It's getting much harder to dismiss the possibility that Le Pen could win next year's French presidential election. So we watch the politics in France. We watch all of this very closely. So the party's core nationalistic message has also gained more appeal as a result of the two horrifying jihadist attacks in Paris over the past months. Remember, right-wing parties, nationalistic parties, are on the rise throughout all of Europe. And now to Sweden. Now, Sweden has reached the breaking point. The country's migration agency has said it can no longer put a roof over the heads of the extremely high number of people requesting asylum each day in Sweden. Most of these people are Muslims. Over the past year, nearly 200,000 people made their way to Sweden, a country with a population of only 9.7 million people. Adjusted for population size, no other country in Europe is taking in nearly as many refugees. Now, the growing popularity of the far-right Sweden Democratic Party mirrors a backlash being felt across Europe as the continent tries to deal with this refugee crisis, which, by the way, has broken all modern records and is showing no sign of abating. So the impact can be seen in country after country, with far-right parties hammering away at authorities deemed too permissive in allowing those fleeing war and persecution to find a home in Europe. Speaking of Sweden, in the city of Malmö, which is the third most populous city in Sweden, the name Mohammed, with its seven different spellings, has been in the top five names for a newborn boy in Malmö for the past decade. It is also true that the most common name given to a newborn boy in London is Mohammed, and Mohammed is now the most common name for men in Norway's capital city of Oslo. And then in the four major cities of the Netherlands, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, The Hague, and Utrecht, Mohammed and its variations is by far the name most given to boys. And now into the nation of Hungary. Remember, the neo-fascist Jobbik Party, which advocates ethnic purity for Hungary, took over 20% of the vote last year to become the third biggest party in parliament. And its influence, we're talking about Jobbik, has pushed the right-wing ruling party even further rightward. Hungary has recently built a razor wire fence along the border with Serbia in an attempt to keep out migrants The Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orbán, who is very popular in Hungary, says that the European Union should not accept people who have a radically different culture and religion. He went on to say that we have no other option but to defend our borders. Now, they say that refugees are likely to continue arriving to Europe from Turkey all through the winter at a rate of about 5,000 refugees per day. This is according to the United Nations Refugee Agency. Let's remember that the nation of Turkey is the most important transit country for refugees en route to Europe. Let me also remind you, Europe itself is crowded with nations. It's also crowded with people. Europe is a patchwork of small and large nations. It's a region of the world that is filled with old wounds, prejudices, and suspicion and distrust. That is why the European Union was created, to try to create unity in a fractured, angry Europe. Now, this is a Europe that has seen two world wars. And remember, if we include Russia as part of Europe, Europe boasts a total population of about 780 million people. Here in the United States, we have a population of about 318 million people. So the 28 nations that make up the European Union today, now this union of nations in Europe has 24 official languages. Now, when you add this refugee crisis, where we literally are seeing millions of Muslims pouring into European cities, well, if ever there was a location on Earth that could be called modern-day Babylon, it would be Europe. Today, I have a special offer for you. It's entitled, Why? Why is what's taking place in Syria so important? Why is the Russian incursion into Ukraine so very important? And what about the actual invasion of Europe by refugees coming from the Middle East and North Africa and Afghanistan? Why is that important, and how does it relate to biblical prophecy? What about Israel and Hezbollah? Did you realize that Israel and Hezbollah are about ready to go to war? Why is this significant? What does the Bible have to say about this particular issue? This special and new subscriber service, which we send to you free of charge, where we send an audio CD to you regarding a subject where we go in depth concerning a world news item as it relates to Bible prophecy, we send it to you free of charge approximately once per month. You can reach us toll free. Ask for Why? Ask to be put on the subscription list. That toll free number is 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. The number is 1-877-449-6753. I want to backtrack now, and I want to talk about Sweden once again, because the refugee crisis that is hammering Sweden is particularly severe. Torn apart by an open-door policy for migrants, Sweden is seen as Europe's most liberal nation, but the violent crime is soaring and the far-right party in Sweden is gaining momentum. Now, the violent crime is soaring, to be quite frank, because there is a great increase in Muslims moving to Sweden. And we're told that, according to Swedish statistics, that the number of rapes committed by Muslims against Swedish women is escalating to a large degree. As a matter of fact, Sweden now has the second highest rape rate in the world. Sweden currently accepts 1 in 7 migrants entering Europe. Now remember, Sweden is a small country with a population of only 9.7 million people. The Swedish economist writes, and his name is Tino Sanandaji, who himself has an Iranian-Kurdish background. Recently, he described what is happening in Sweden as quite disastrous, and this is what he says. He says this is an irreversible social experiment taking place in Sweden that no wealthy state has ever attempted. There are almost no ideas or visions over how this problem, this refugee crisis in Sweden, can be solved. You can't combine open borders with a welfare state, he says. If you offer generous benefits and anyone can come into your country and use those benefits, a very large number of people will try to do just that. It's just mathematically impossible for a small country like Sweden to fund all these refugees that are pouring into Swedish cities. Now, the Swedes meant well. They have a generous spirit, but it is not working. As a matter of fact, one of the Danish officials said of the Swedes that the Swedes have put themselves into this terrible situation because Sweden has pursued a very lenient immigration policy for years. They themselves are to blame for the swamp they are in now. Going back to the past, we can see that the people of Sweden have a proud history of offering help to outsiders, and they've been very generous, as I've just recently mentioned. But as Sweden has become the European Union's citadel of political correctness, what it has led to today is that Sweden faces the uncomfortable question about the kind of society it wants or it can afford to be. Order today's special broadcast. You've been listening to broadcast number 64, broadcast number 64. You can reach us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. As well, ask to be put on our special subscribers list for our free audio CD program, which is entitled Why, where we discuss world news and certain special events that are taking place in the world today. We go in depth into certain topics and we relate it all to Bible prophecy. It's a new subscriber service. We send it to you free of charge. It's entitled Why, as in why is this particular topic important? For example, a previous Why topic was, why is the Muslim invasion of refugees into Europe so important, and how does it relate to biblical prophecy? So you can reach us toll-free, and that number is 1-877-449-6753. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.